Welcome to the Destructive Doctrine Podcast, where we navigate the divine realm
in search of the uncensored truth.
And now, here are your hosts, the dynamic twin duo, Mikey and Lewis.
And we are back, Mike.
We are back. It's been a long day.
It's okay. So before we even start, tell me about your day, bro. First of all, I'm gonna let you pick my vibe. What color do you want in my background? Do you want red, blue, green? You want purple?
I'm digging the blue.
There's also white.
Nah, don't do white.
Blue.
Yeah.
Is blue a vibe?
Yeah, that's feng shui, bro.
I'll lower it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, no.
Do it down.
You just had it.
Boom.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm just trying to be like you, bro.
Nah.
I promise you guys a vibe this week. And Mikey doesn't have his just black. Well, I don't know.
Last week, listen, I had the black drop.
The black drop.
The backdrop that I was in front of last week is mm-hmm. the backdrop I used to do headshots, like photo headshots for people.
You wanted to make me headshot myself.
No, it was to block backdrop. Out the mess that I had. And to be honest, I still have a disaster of a mess in this room that I'm sitting in right now, but y'all can't even tell because I hid it so well and it's all about angles. They don't even know. Now they know. It's like that meme. They're gonna know. They're not gonna know. They're gonna know.
Tell me about your day, dude.
My day was long, man. As I mentioned briefly last episode, I'm a photographer and I'm building up I'm trying to build more than just a photography business. I'm trying to build like a media agency. So we're doing photo, video, social media marketing, social media management.
Well, that's convenient since we're trying to build a podcast.
Yeah, I'll invoice you. After each episode. So it's just a lot of networking, marketing, building proposals on Canva, putting together presentations. I opened up 5 Chase accounts today, 5 business checking accounts.
What?
Yeah, because I need 1 for expenses, 1 for salary, 1 for dividends, 1 for, I have 1 account for each thing. And a whole bunch of things that I did today that my business manager is like on top of me. He's like, Miguel, did you do this today? Did you work on high level? Did you do this? And I'm like, I'm going to be honest. I did like 3/4 of it. And he gets so mad. He's like, Miguel. I'm like, I'm trying.
But that's crazy. Today was rough probably for the both of us. I missed. You remember my text. I told you like halfway through the day. I was like, I hate today.
You were going through a breakdown. I was like, bro, I was like, get yourself together.
You know, and I shared a reel earlier today talking about how hard it is to pray correctly when you're in need.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading the book last night and I'm reading the Bible. And when I read these words, it just wrecked me. It says, selfishness is the destroyer of all prayer. And then we talked about Hebrews 4:16 last week and how we have to enter boldly into the presence. But then Jesus said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in Gethsemane, he started to pray selfishly. He's like, yo, can you find another way? But then he checked himself real quick. He's like, nah, but let your will be done. So do you know how hard it is when you're in need and agony and you have to not pray selfishly?
Which was one of the things I was reading those before we started on. I wrote a note down this morning. I was just writing down feels, like when God, I feel like God's talking to me. Not feel, when God is talking to me. And you know what I wrote down? One of the hardest things to do in the spirit is pray in the spirit, right? Number one.
Yep.
But for me to then leave my room knowing everything we're going through and trying not to be selfish, The hardest thing for me as a father and a husband and provider is for me to leave this room in prayer and then tell my family everything's going to be okay.
Knowing that you're in the negative, knowing that my accounts are rejected, knowing that I got no food.
The Spirit's telling me I'm good. The Spirit just gave me some conviction, gave me some guidance. And I can spend time trying to explain to you guys what he's telling me. But I just, you know, just trust me. Everything's going to be okay. And that's then me having to convince myself that those words, ooh, I believe it.
And that's where faith, you know, it's faith becomes so like dressed up. Like, oh, yeah, I got that super faith. Yeah, I believe it. But do you though? Because, bro, faith is not easy. There, like you said, it's like, and then people will hear that. What you just said is like you have to convince yourself to believe what you heard, and they're like, "Oh, that's because you have no faith." No, bro, it's because our flesh doesn't believe spiritual things.
Yeah, when you try to logically understand the spiritual, none of it's gonna make sense.
And, yeah, so it's like we talked about a little bit last week, and this is gonna be a perfect segue into what we're talking about today because, you know, so I'm giving a conference on Sunday called Heaven on Earth, and you know, I'm starting off with the concept, and it's not even a concept, it's the biblical truth, where we are not of this world anymore. Once you accept Christ and the Holy Spirit becomes a part of you, Jesus said, you guys are no longer of this world. In the same way I was sent down to heaven, I am sending you guys down to heaven.
Oh, that's the verse I got, Lewis. Romans 8, 9 through 14. First verse, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Correct.
Comma. Punctuation is key when it comes to scripture.
Yes, sir.
Comma is pretty much saying, but if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you.
I just used that on Sunday. Yo. I said so many people grabbed the first part. Yeah, I'm in the Spirit. If. They're like, y'all forgot the if.
I love verses that say if in the middle of it. Because preachers like to pick the side that just
up until the if. And they leave the if out.
Because the if part, it turns off the people. It doesn't
happen. Yeah, so what if we put the if back in the word? You know, so, and like you said, so when your flesh doesn't want to believe what the Holy Spirit says, because your flesh sees, logically, your flesh sees that there is no money, you do have to convince yourself to believe in that. You do have to fight against the flesh. Yeah. You do have to turn that part of you off and say, you know what? For this season, I have to be in the Spirit because if I'm in the flesh, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. The Holy Spirit is the key to everything. We know that through the work of Jesus, we're able to do what we're about to talk about. But, I mean, Jesus did his part. He's back in heaven. He's preparing a place. But right now for us. And this is where, like I said, a lot of debates happen because we put everything together and we have to learn how to separate our triune God. Right now, our version of Jesus on earth is his Spirit. Mm-hmm. So he's the key. That's why the Bible says don't piss him off because he's the key. Without him, you ain't doing anything. So we're going to talk about today the three different ways that the Holy Spirit interacts with a believer. So to give our little outline, the three ways is the Holy Spirit lives with us. We're in his presence. He lives in us and he lives upon us, and each one has a specific function and a purpose. So
what did I message you the second you told me the title? Within 2 seconds, what did I write you? Do you remember?
Within on.
Yeah, but I wrote next to it something. You don't remember?
Just scroll through our chat. I'm using my phone as a flashlight right now.
Hold on. I gotta go.
Bro, we just texted each other 2 seconds ago. What do you mean you gotta go?
No.
It's gonna be near the
top. First came me the title, and then you said this is the title. I wrote something, and you were like,
you wrote in us, with us, in us, and upon us, and I send you a GIF with bingo.
Is that what it was?
It was the bingo GIF.
Oh, here we go. Chiste. I know. Chill. I wrote, when he is, Holy Spirit is with you, in you, and upon you. And I wrote, with you equals comforting, in you equals guiding, upon you equals authority.
Yeah. That's what Boom. I wrote. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what we're going to dive into. So
I bet. I just wanted to say it.
First of all, real quick, I need to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Do you guys see how cool this hat is?
Oh, it
says, yeah, right here. It says, Pastor warning, anything you say or do can be used in a sermon.
I got to get one that says, Lewis warning, anything you say or do will be roasted upon immediately. Well, my hat's not exclusive, but I have one that says Dad Gang. And then it's a hat made by dads. And on the side, it says, if you know, you know. You know, being a dad.
Yeah.
I got a coupon code. So if you're a father and you like this hat, this
whole thing, shameless plug. What is going on?
Just comment and I'll put my code in the comments and you get 10% off.
But anyway, I'm going to block it. Anyways, let's get Mikey. Let's get into this because
it's already on 10 minutes. We haven't even started talking about the Bible. Bro,
what is even like? No, we did. No, we did.
We did. We talked about verses. All
right, yep. All right. So, all right. So the first segment, the first part of this discussion today is how the Holy Spirit is with us as a companion and a comforter. So when we say that the Holy Spirit is with us, that's just a very black and white answer. When you go to church and everybody is together and we're all worshiped, the Holy Spirit is there. He's present. We're enjoying his presence. We're enjoying our connection to heaven through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a bunch of different functions. Again, in order to, it's kind of like unlocking levels with him. The more involved you want him to be in your life, you have to seek him more. So level one is I came to church and I feel the Holy Spirit's presence, and that's what leads me to conviction. The presence of the Holy Spirit is what leads you to the altar. That's what leads you to the cross. That's what makes you realize that, yo, what am I doing? How have I not come to Christ? I need to make this decision right now. And it's not just in the beginning, because sometimes we turn off the other two and we have to go back to just the presence mode because we've lost ourselves and he has to get you back to the altar. I know you and me have gone through some of those moments, dude.
Yeah.
Bro, tell me how you feel, bro. I already can tell this is going to be an emotional episode. Can we just be real?
No, it's just, I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit is like, that's it. Like, that's the one that gets you in tears. That's the one that's creating the, bridging the connection between us and God and Jesus and,
well, here's the thing. It's, he is literally the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Which means he is the essence of all emotion connected to God. So, like, there's sadness, and then there's, like, God sadness. There's happiness, but then there's joy. You know, it's like when you're connected to the Holy Spirit, he allows you to feel what God feels. And those are the moments where you don't even understand and have words to describe what's going on at that moment. So, like I said, you know, he's our comforter. He's our companion. John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I have said to you. He reminds us of what the word of God is. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's our comforter in the times of grief. Do you have any verses that you want to rip out real quick? Or
there's a whole bunch.
I see you like pensive.
Yeah. So
tag.
I mean, you got Isaiah 26:12, right? It says, Lord, you established peace for us. all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. That's, you know, we're talking about the peace that the Holy Spirit brings to us.
Okay, so pause. So I love this. This is going to be one of my favorite things. There's a lot of people who, if you reference an Old Testament verse, they're going to tell you, nope, that doesn't count because the Holy Spirit wasn't present in the Old Testament. There's a lot of people that say that. And it's not true. The Spirit of God never went anywhere. Our connection to Him did.
I'll tell you this. If the Holy Spirit, let's go take a trip to Genesis 1:1 real quick.
Ooh.
The beginning of time. Genesis.
That wasn't even in my notes, boy.
It wasn't in my notes either. It just came to me. Holy Spirit, there was no spirit. There was no earth.
There was no earth, no nothing. Okay. I mean, there was something there. That's a whole nother conversation. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Genesis 1:1. You want to talk about Old Testament? This is literally the first version, second version of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And there's a couple more.
Here, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So we also got to remember that just like we're talking about how we interact with the Holy Spirit, we are also spirit.
Yeah.
So, said, our spirit self never turned off with sin either. It just became enslaved to sin.
Because there's, let me see if I can find it. There is,
You're the worst co-host. I'm firing you.
I know. It's just, I'm trying to see if I can find. Well, I'll come back to that. There's a verse that specifically says what you just said. And I just don't remember what it was.
Is it Psalm 34:18, the verse I just read?
What was it?
Psalm 34:18.
No, what did it say?
It said, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Nah, that's something else, but that one's good too.
I'm dying.
Continue.
All right. So, so this is just very simple, to the point. We're not trying to go too deep because, number one, it's low-key late. It's 11:07 p.m.
And not while we're recording this. The Bible has there's some topics in the Bible that you got to dig deep. But there's some messages in the Bible. It's just what it says is
that's what
says.
It is.
That's saying people try to.
He's here. It. He's real, and we can feel him.
There's no theology behind this verse, bro. Just it's what it said. chill out.
So now we have the Holy Spirit being in us. So we got to remind ourselves that the only reason why the Holy Spirit is in us right now is because of the work of Jesus Christ. If it were not for the work of Jesus Christ, we would not have the Holy Spirit living inside us. That's what sin did. It disconnected us.
Yeah.
So before we talk about how amazing it is to have the Holy Spirit in us, can we give a shout out to Jesus? My guy came down. Good looks. He came, let himself get slapped around, crushed down to a pulp, just so we can have the conversation about us having the Holy Spirit inside of us. How crazy is that, dude?
Do you have written down anywhere Romans 8:9?
No. Go for it.
This is the one I think. So. Oh no! I read this. This one about the if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Yeah, read it again. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's trying to talk.
Yeah. So it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." With a capital H, right? Him being the Spirit in this context. So you gotta also understand this verse is the exact reason why the Bible says we have to sacrifice our flesh daily, because it says right here, if you are not, if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then technically you're not in the Spirit anymore.
It's not even technically, you're not.
No, yeah, correct. That's why it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're not sacrificing your flesh daily.
Yeah, well, here's the crazy thing. So, I don't have it pulled up, and I'm not about to go down my Google Drive and try to find
That's
it.
That's what I've been trying to do. I've been in my Google
Well, Drive no, because it, imagine I'm giving Sunday school sermons and Bible studies every week. So for me to try to find it right now, yeah, I mean, we're growing. I saw a picture that he said octopastor. I'm like, bro, that's literally me.
Don't ever say that. It's just a post. It's the octopastor.
That's so weird. Right now, I'm recording a podcast to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to finish my PowerPoint for conference one I'm giving on Saturday. And then I have to do the one for conference two on Sunday. And I was practicing since I'm the drummer. And it's just, it's wild. That's my life right now. But talking about killing the flesh and being in the spirit. So the word reconcile in Greek, and I, like I said, I don't have it off the top of my head and I ain't looking for it. Just stay tuned for another episode and I'll bring it back. But the point, don't snort on my show. You are wild. I'm just kidding.
Dale.
So the word reconciled in Greek literally means to change nature. So when the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to reconcile us with his Father, what it's translating to is, I am turning you guys back into the nature that my Father is so you guys can dwell together. So you can't be in the spirit, number one, if you're not reconciled with God, because the process of being transformed is what this Holy Spirit does. And we talked about this in one of the beginning episodes when we started this podcast. You guys can go back and listen to it. It's called Born Again, Spirit Epigenetics, Born Again. And it's talking about how, you know, being born again, number one, it's if we're not going to be of this world anymore, and we have to be born again. So if he says we are not of this world anymore, think about this. If I'm going to go into another world, I have to be born in that world. So I'm born, just check this out. This is what the Holy Spirit does. We're talking about spiritual transformation here.
I'm just saying I didn't catch it. So what was it?
All right, check this out. So we have to be born again, right?
Correct.
In the spirit.
Correct.
So when we're born again in the spirit, we're being born in the realm that he operates in.
Oh, realm. I thought you
said in the world. Yeah, world, realm, the same world thing. Realm.
No.
Because he specifically said you guys are not of the, he didn't say realm, he said you guys are not of this world.
Correct. But the realm of the spirit, the realm that the Holy
is not a physical place, correct.
Correct. So the realm has always existed, but the realms that the spirit and God and if everything that's divine as far as God, right? They operate in the realms that are in this world, but they're not of this world. So
correct.
It's not the same.
We were born in that same place. That's correct. Why it's called born again, not just born.
Correct.
Exactly. The prefix RE means to bring back to an original state. So that's why we are reconciled, restored, reborn. Right. This is not nothing new to us. And that's the crazy thing is that when we read the scripture and we talk about all this stuff that the Holy Spirit does with us, this is what we're supposed to have from the beginning of time until we screwed it up. So this ain't nothing new.
Well, we didn't screw up nothing. Adam and Eve over here had a whole buffet and they went a la carte. Like, you know.
So that's what the bro, and then, like I said, we're not gonna go too deep today, but like
there's a lot to unpack.
Just this right here, we can be here for months because the transformation and renewal, what the Holy Spirit does. And then 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? So, I mean, we are the literal presence of God in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So, you know, to kind of transition into the next point, you know, we're kind of this, I guess you would probably say this is like an intro to the Holy Spirit series. We're going to be doing a couple of future collabs too in the future. We got an interview with Jonathan Atan next week. There's a YouTube channel that I found on YouTube. And it's called Street Fishing. It's a Hispanic guy and he's super lit. Like, I love it. I love street preachers. I love people who are not trying to match
They're just real.
They're just real. And he commented one of our reels. He commented on a reel that you put when you were saying about why woke pastors or pastors love woke people. He commented saying, yo, say that fire. So I was like, we collabing? He's like, I'm down. So I got to set that up with him.
You didn't tell me
this. I just did.
Yo.
So, and like I said, you know, when we're talking about Holy Spirit transformation, there has to be a change. Because we got to stop believing people when they say the Holy Spirit transformed me and I'm born again and I'm new. And then now you're doing things that you've never done in your entire life and you're going backward.
Yeah, because the problem is that, remember, this transformation, when the Bible doesn't call it an adjustment.
Mm-mm.
It's a transformation. It's going to take time.
Born again.
So what happens
is, which means you're an infant. You have to learn.
So what happens is that they'll start the transformation process. Because typically in the beginning, right, when you're going through the beginning phases of the transformation that the Spirit's going to do in you, that's like the good parts. Like,
okay, yeah, this is like that's like the spiritual honeymoon.
Yeah, that's like, oh, I'm digging this new me.
Yeah. But
what happens when you get to the phases of transformation? Where you gotta start letting go of things. God's gonna start taking stuff away from you. And he's like, all right, let me see how.
When that first faith test, that pop test.
Let's see how far along in this transformation we are. When you gotta trust me. When this, I'm about to start doing stuff in your life that makes zero sense.
Like what you said in the beginning, you have to convince yourself to believe what the Holy Spirit told you.
Let's go ahead and test it out. And then all of a sudden, they start freaking out. But what they have to remember is that the transformations that take longer are more sturdy at the end of the day. It's more grounded at the end of the day. When you're building a house, you know, the part that takes the longest, number one, or the most important part really is the foundation of, right? But what happens if you rush? Like, you see so many, like, new construction builders out. I swear, like,
you'll bro, you blink and the house is done. It's happening right now. Literally on my little circle.
Bro, whatever. my house that I'm in right now. I remember I went to when we first put the deposit down, the foundation. It was just a slab. Bro, we came out 2 weeks later. The freaking all the walls were up. The roof, all the beams. I'm like, wait. This was just like. Y'all, isn't there like permits in between phases? Like, isn't there like a labor shortage because all the Florida immigrants were like doing something with like a protest? Because when DeSantis was doing that whole thing, like, I know y'all don't have enough workers to get this up this fast. So what is going on? How'd y'all do
that? That was way after you got your.
Nah, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was actually exactly at the time.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Dang, then Florida just keeps wilding out because it
can't. Bro, and that's why I was like, and it makes you think, right? But at the end of the day, well, when it comes to processes and transformations, sometimes you're going to feel like you're in the desert forever.
Yeah, it's going to suck and it's going to hurt.
Remember, at the end of the day, when the Bible says that God would present manna,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't leftovers. He's sending exactly enough for that day. Because what does the Bible say? His blessings are new daily.
Yeah, it was a commandment. Do not take leftovers because you have to learn to depend on it. And now here's the thing. And this is how we're going to transition to the last thing. So we have to, and one thing I love that you said, Mikey, is we got to be real with people and not just say, oh, it's going to be great. No, it's going to suck and it's going to hurt because now we are leaving a nature that we have been living.
It's okay to say that you're not.
Yes.
Okay. Like, it's okay to say this sucks. Like,
100%.
We've talked about it, right? And that people think it's faith. No, you're delusional. It's a religious delusion or illusion because you have someone, let's say their wife just died. They lost their house. They lost their job. Their dog died. And then you ask them, hey, I don't know, how's everything going?
And the Pentecostal, like the Loipano. When you ask, and Victoria, and Victoria.
Oh, stop lying.
No, bro, you're crushed.
You can simply say, listen, my life is kind of going through a sucky situation right now. I'm not going to lie. But yes. I know that God has my back. But
because Jesus did that in the garden. He said, correct. Bro, I don't want to do this. Can we find another way? But because
faith is not denying the reality of the situation. That's not what the mm-mm. Spirit does. It's acknowledging the reality of the situation, but accepting and believing that God still has everything under control.
Faith is Romans 8:28, that no matter how much it looks like it's melting and exploding, at the end of the way, somewhere down the road, at some point in my life, everything will work out okay yep. because he said it will. Mm-hmm. So now the last way he interact, and we're gonna have to keep on diving into this because yeah, this is like
30 minutes ain't enough. Let's close it up for today.
Yeah, yeah. So
if not, I will continue talking.
Yeah, we'll be here until 1 a.m. Oh, God. So this is the coolest way. This is to me. This is your goal. This is I'm fully evolved in the spirit, and I'm ready to slay some demons. Okay. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the process of the Holy Spirit coming upon you is basically the Holy Spirit giving us authority and power. So the verse that I have, and Mikey, feel free to share any verses you have, but I have Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So there's a lot of debate on when. Again, some people say that the Holy Spirit didn't exist in the Old Testament and he's only in the New Testament. But now we have people who say that the Holy Spirit didn't come into the picture until the disciples spoke in tongues, which is also not true. And I'm trying not to like make too much noise here because I'm like so cluttered right now. But let's see here. Receive. All right. So when John 20:22, here we go. Yo, Mikey, read me John 20:22.
I got you.
Because like I said, I don't want to do too much noise in here.
20:22. It says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
John 20:22?
John chapter 20, verse 22?
Yeah. No, you read it. I have it right here. It is, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
I'm tripping, yes.
Bro, what did you read?
I don't know. That's that NIV. Oh, I read verse 23. See, that's what happens when you read NIV and all these. This is why you gotta stick to King James Version.
Please don't start that conversation right now. I don't have enough energy to have that conversation because now people are going to get mad. Also, guys, FYI, if you notice, our last episode went down and came back. We did some editing. As you guys can tell, we're very black and white, blunt. Sometimes we can get controversial. There were some things that we said that wasn't what people were saying it was, but it came across at it. So,
and because we're getting better at it, because at the end of the day, we got to be cognizant of
how the conscience of others.
Correct.
You know, so that's why you saw some edits. I'm not going to say what it was, but
we apologize.
Yes, we're so sorry. No, we really are. That's why we edited. But that's why I went.
We're learning. Our dynamic is developing, and we're good.
So, like I said, you know, a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit didn't come to the disciples until the day of Pentecost. And that's not the case. Number one, the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning of time, like Mikey read in Genesis 1:1. So he's been there. He's with us. Boom. That never stopped. He was in us until sin happened. And now he's back in us because of the work of Jesus. And John 20:22, Jesus had not died yet. He is speaking to the disciples and he says, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So right there, they received the Holy Spirit in them. In them, right at that moment, he hadn't even died yet. Mm. And he said right there, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the day of Pentecost, which is in Acts chapter 2, when they were all united, is that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it was visualized as if there was tongues, there were fire tongues above them, and they began to speak in other tongues.
Right.
That was the first manifestation of authority. Because in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, not within you. I mean, not around you. It doesn't say you're going to receive power when he's around you. It doesn't say you're going to receive power when he's inside of you. It says you will receive the power when he comes on you. So this is what every Christian should be aiming for. Fact. Not just around us because we go to church. Not just in us because, oh, you know, he transformed us. And then we say that, no, we should continue to go higher and higher so he can come upon us. And then that's, bro, that's when that authority hits. So since the last episode.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who go to church and they're okay with just being around the presence.
Oh, 100%.
Because that's what they do.
100%. And they don't know what authority is. Oh, yeah, I love
you
Jesus.
You ever seen, and I'm not going to say that I see it in my church, but I will say you see it in every church. So it's not just mine. It's just a general thing. There's always like that one person, like, for example, you'll see a service. Again, you know you're Pentecostal, right? When it just starts going crazy, program is out of order. You won't see that in like
chill.
Okay. Stop. You won't see that in certain kind of churches where they even have worship 13 minutes and 58 seconds. Transition to the announcements. Pastor's going to preach for 38 minutes. We're going to do the announcements for the next service and then direct everyone to the coffee shops in the lobby. So, we, you know, like... Everything's so structured. A Pentecostal church, a Hispanic Pentecostal church, especially in mine, there's so many services, everything goes completely out of order. And there's been services that the Spirit is just moving, going crazy, and then there's one person just like this.
Bro, that drives me nuts.
It doesn't drive me nuts. I notice him. If I notice this, because I'm playing piano on the altar. But like if I'm if I'm not playing that day,
maybe I'm a little bit sore because I'm the pastor. I'm like, bro, I'm dropping this fire right now. How are you not moving?
Hey, listen, I mean.
But here's the thing, like I said, it's great to have all that, but the authority is where you're at. The authority is what you need to go into the presence boldly and start manifesting things.
And not ego authority. It's not for you to have this authority and be like, okay, no. Understand. It's authority that God has.
It's authority to use in his world, in his realm, because we're not talking about an authority for you to go write a blank check to yourself.
Yeah, self-entitled, you know, authority. Now you're,
you know, and I'm going to end with this example. You want to know what authority is, and this is not to bring glory to myself, but this is because I've been dedicated to this.
When you walked up on that demon and said, yo, chill out.
So I'm in my prayer room, right?
Is that it? You have a lot of examples. I'll let you pick one.
Yeah, the devil's been after me for a while. Yeah, he hasn't let me go. It's been like six or seven months.
He'll tell you now. And I know he doesn't do it for that. I'm going to let him tell the story. But Louis be telling me some interactions he's had and like the way he be speaking to these demons. And I know and you know that it's the authority that God has given him because it works. Or like the way it ends up, if we're just being real, because we see in the Bible where you had people attempting to use his name and the devil's like, yo, who are you? So when it's not genuine authority by God, trust me, the devil's going to be like,
you ain't nothing. Oh, you're talking about the time where I went like this and I just put my finger on his mouth. I put my finger on my mouth. I didn't even tell him to be quiet. Yeah, I just.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it was a legion, my guy.
Yeah.
But that one's a little bit more private. So, but this is recent. So I'm in my prayer room last week, and I woke up at 3. I'm trying to get better at waking up early.
Oh, the growling.
Yeah. So I'm praying, and like I said, I'm reading the book called How to Pray, and I'm praying in the spirit. Like I'm learning using new terminology and language, and I'm praying my heart out. And all of a sudden, so, you know, like the alien movies, when the alien's really close, it's not even a growl, it's more like a click.
It's like a boat dock crackling, like click, click.
Yes, like, yeah. That was horrible. But the point is, that's what I heard. I heard like a clicking, but then I heard like a low growl, but it was super angry.
Yeah.
So I'm in the spirit. I'm not in this world at that moment. I'm in my world, my actual world. Like, my spirit is not even attached to me at the moment. I'm with God in his presence. But I hear it. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, what do I do? Because I'm not scared, but I felt like, bro, I felt that thing was,
it's a weight.
It's a, it was inches above me. Like, it was on me.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit says, well, you have two options. You can open your eyes, turn around and rebuke it, and it's gone. You know you have the power.
Or
just keep you can ignore it and keep on talking to me.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Option B. Not because I'm afraid, because I've like Mikey said,
right now, and we're talking. So
yeah, like Mikey said, I part of my journey when I started pastoring last year is the city where I'm pastoring, just a lot of that kind of activity, and I have no issue. But it felt so good to pre-praying the way I was. For this was the first time I've prayed that deep, so I was like, I'm not about to sacrifice time out of my prayer to deal with this dude. So I just, my eyes stayed closed and I kept on praying, and I felt him get angrier and angrier, and I just kept on praying harder and harder until he left. And when he left, the Holy Spirit said, resist the enemy and he will flee.
You know, and it's crazy because I haven't had any experiences to that extent. But Luis, I've told you,
you've had them
ever since, and it's been a lot, especially in this home that I'm
yes,
in.
I was about to say that you've had them in that home.
My son, since he was born, my older, Jadiel, mind you, and Luis, for real, we'll close with this one, I promise.
Okay.
But and Luis knows because he was the part of the 911 call that we did that day. But when my wife was pregnant with my son, Jadiel, there was a night that my cousin called me. And he was like, bro, is your wife good? Mind you, it's late as hell.
Oh, this one, you, me, and Macho were up?
Correct.
Okay.
I was still at the Feather Drive house.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife was pregnant, and he was like, I'm like, why are you freaking out? Like, what's going on? And he goes, bro, I just had a vision that there was a black skeleton hand caressing your wife's stomach. And again, I'm at a point where I don't get scared. My word is I get annoyed. Like, we're really doing this right now, man. Like, I'm tired. And like we said, I don't have time for this. So we just started praying. And then there was a couple other experiences. But when I told the devil has been attempting to torment my son, and I know it's that, because as a father, and for those dads, for those of you guys who are parents, you'll understand this. You can tell when the tantrum is just your kid being fussy. Or just because you took away something or you said
it's no. A torment cry.
Yeah, there's a difference between just whatever, a toddler being a toddler versus like, this is like, my son turns red. So there's been moments where he's red, sweating, peed himself. Like, this is not a normal cry. And there's been moments where I'll walk to the front of the house or the, you know, the back part of my house, I'm good. Then I'll start walking towards the front of the house. And I just feel it. Like, there's something here. And there's been times where I've literally done this and just to test in my mind, I'm like, let me make sure that I walk back, good. Walk forward, feel it.
Yeah, it really be like that. It
really be like that. And there's been times where I've literally said, I've spoken to them. I'm like, first of all, who gave you permission to come into my house? Because I don't even know why you're here. You're wasting everyone's time. Because you don't belong here. This house belongs to God. My son belongs to God. My other son belongs to God. And I just start talking like that. You have no authority here. So get out. Stop wasting everyone's time. And it's not me saying it because I think I'm the big guy. But it's because I know.
No, you can be bold in the spirit.
Because the spirit has given me the authority to speak to this.
100%.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we need to aim for. You want to stop. You want to be able to stop the devil in his tracks. You want to be able to start rebuking strongholds, breaking chains. You need to seek God in a way where his spirit comes upon you, because that's where authority and power
comes
from.
It'll be a little scary in a little bit, if I'm being honest, because when you have those first interactions, when you're first getting to this point where you feel comfortable with the
authority. Let's just put it this way. I woke up that morning and I told my wife. And she was like, oh, yeah, I know. I was like, what do you mean you know? She's like, yeah, I saw it go in there. I was like, why didn't you tell me?
And you didn't say you just let that man in?
You're like, she was like, because I'm sleeping. No, her response was because I was sleeping and I knew you could handle it.
Nah, if my wife told me, yeah, I saw the demon and I just, he good, I would have been like, babe? Babe? Oh, you're a better man. I would have been like, Sonia, you just let this man in. Like, if he's Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, you just opened the door and you said, nah, he's good?
Yeah, no, it was wild. So, guys, you know, we're going to end. And this is getting late. But we want you guys to know, like, number one, like, share, and subscribe this video. Please. If you like it. Help us grow this podcast. We're trying to become
influencers.
Yes, we are. No, I'm just kidding. No, but we no, I could care less. But, you know, we do want the message to be out there. So if you're listening to the podcast, the link will be in the description. If you're watching YouTube, it'll be in the description to our link tree that has all of our platforms in one place. You can just go on there and click whatever platform you want. So do that. But we want you guys to, like, the goal of this is to teach. Like, right. That's what we want people. We want people to learn what it means to walk. Because there's just so many people get it wrong, and we want people to learn the right way.
And we're learning too.
We're learning with you guys 100%. Oh, you're going to hear so many stories of all my screw ups. And yeah. For me, it's a little bit harder because now I don't put myself on a pedestal. But naturally, if I'm a pastor, people expect me, and it's just that much harder. But I'm learning. And we want people to learn without being judged. We want people to learn the truth that it's not going to be cupcakes and candies. It's going to be hard. Living in a physical world while not being from the world that you're living in is hard. Like, that's the reality of it. Living in a world that's physical while not being a physical being, while you're out of this world, you're in the spirit, but you have to live in this physical world because Jesus also said, I am not asking you to take them from this world. I am asking you to keep them from it. That was a mic drop moment from Jesus. I am not asking you to take them out of this world. I am asking you to keep this from this world because they have work to do.
Yeah.
So I done easy. So I'm going to go ahead and then in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and call it a night. Father God, we thank you. We love you, Father. We thank you. We worship you. We are grateful for your mercy, your love, your kindness. We are thank you because your mercies are new every day. Your grace is made new every day. Your love is new every single day because we don't deserve it at all whatsoever. But we're grateful that you love us past our flaws. You love us past our sin. You love us past our weakness, Father. And we pray that you continue to teach us how to walk in the presence of the Spirit. We pray that you continue to teach us how to daily be transformed daily, a daily transformation in the Spirit, so we can always be fresh in the Spirit. But Father God, for anyone who is listening, I pray that you show them the way and give them an encounter so they can feel how it feels like to have the Holy Spirit come upon them in a powerful way that will transform their life and change their life in every way, shape, and form, Father. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, through the authority of the Holy Spirit, and we pray to you, our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so, today was a wild day. This was a good way to end my day. Today sucked. Like I said, when we began, today was just, I wanted to punch all my computer screens.
I'm going to Tennessee this weekend with the Domus from church, so it's going to be a long weekend for me.
You're going to be with the boys.
I am thankfully. My in-laws are coming to stay with me until she gets back. Because I told Alan, I'm going to be rude with you. I can handle
it. Why didn't you just lie with me?
To what?
To South Carolina. This right next to Tennessee.
I got to play church on Sunday.
True.
Yeah. I told Alan, I said, if you leave me with these boys...
They're not going to be in one piece when you come back.
They'll be alive. But, because especially Jadiel, lady, that kid, man, I'm telling, and the thing is that he's telling everything to me in Spanish, because we're teaching him Spanish, and he's getting
It sounds worse in Spanish. It sounds so sassy.
Spanish, like, it's crazy. He's getting so good. But now I talk to him, he's like, no, papi, tranquilo. I'm like, wait. I just want to just want to hit this kid, yo.
Yo, and on that fatherhood note, next week episode, we are going to be interviewing Jonathan Natal. We grew up in the same circle. I can't say we were like in the same exact circle, but we grew up in the same church organization. We're going to be talking about fatherhood. We're going to be talking about the impact of fathers with their children. Yeah, that one's going to be an interview style. We're not going to be bringing out bullet points. It's just going to be a vibe. So tune in next week. Jonathan Natal. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so you can see what we're going to be doing. And there will be a collab with that one guy I told you, Mike. I'll hit him up. And
send me his info.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening in today. And we will see you next week on the Disruptive Doctrine Podcast.